the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to the weekly Manchester United show. I'm your host as always, Phil Brown, joined with my fantastic regular co-host, Tim Martin. Well, we haven't recorded in a few weeks. I was sick last week, and I was in Florida, and I was actually still sick the week before that, so finally getting over it. But how's things, mate? How are you?
Yeah, mate, not too bad. Obviously on the back of that fantastic victory today. But obviously it would be remiss not to start the show by saying how obviously the devastating news with the passing of Harry Gregg this morning.
Yes.
An absolute United legend, a true hero in every sense of the word, to go what he went through, to go back into burning wreckage, pull teammates out, and then on top of it all, then to go and play 13 days later. Absolute hero. Yeah. So sad news for the club today.
13 days after pulling your friends out of a burning wreckage. And, you know, it's difficult to quantify the type of bravery it takes to do something like that. And a true bona fide legend of a football club who should have been knighted wasn't for what he did. And such another tragic loss for a football club. And, you know, when we argue online about what Manchester United means to different people, what it, you know, depends on the generation you're from. I wasn't alive when the Busby Babes were here, but I was well aware growing up just how important they were to the club's identity and how important they were as a Manchester United fan to respect that era and what was done. I think we lose a bit of that today with social media, where everything is sensationalised and there's no respect anymore for club legends. It's all about what have you done for me today. It's a testament to Harry Gregg that here we are, what, 50, 60 years later, we still have people talking about him as a club legend, and rightly so. So rest in peace, Harry, to you and your family. Mate, so much to talk about. Obviously, well, we are on the back of stuff that heals this Chelsea win. I haven't recorded in a couple of weeks, so there's going to be a few things that I've missed. We'll talk a wee bit later in the show about the Solskjaer story, which is truly incredible. Some of it we can cover, some of it we can't. And just try to understand there's legal ramifications here, and I don't have the money to defend myself with a lawyer, so I'll tell you what I can. But there will be more exposed on this later as we get approval on what can be told and what can't be told. We'll also talk about this ridiculous circus that's going on with Mina Raiola and Paul Pogba. Another embarrassing statement again, and Roy Keane nailed on the head for me. Ollie's just come off the back of a 2-0 win, brilliant result for United, and here he is having to talk about Mina Raiola and Paul Pogba, which is just utterly ridiculous. And there's not a single part of me that wants that guy at this football club beyond this summer, Martin. He absolutely has to be kicked out of his football club. And I don't see how he is endearing himself to any potential buyers, but I do not want to see him in this football club anymore. Bruno Fernandes was a positive tonight, of course. But we'll start at the Chelsea game, mate. What did you make of the Chelsea game?
Again, Ollie's record against the quote-unquote top six, or you know, top eight, whatever you want to call it, is, you know, it's fantastic. It's another good performance. Yeah, you can say they rolled the luck a little bit. Obviously, VAR having a heavy influence on this game. But again, VAR, it is what it is. I mean, the offside goal is offside. It's the offside rule that's out of order, not VAR. VAR gets that one right. The Harry Maguire one, was he looking us down the pitch? Probably. There's an argument there that he's protecting himself from the Chelsea player falling on him. There was a little bit of afters there. He kind of did. There was a secondary movement there. You've seen players sent off for it for sure. So element of luck there. I think it would have been soft to send him off. But as I said, you've seen people sent off for it. The goal, I got to admit, I think we got away with one there. If you're gonna bring it back and you're gonna look at it and you're gonna review it, you almost have to call that first push from Fred. So I think we got a slice of luck there. But beyond that, United still deserved winners. So nice. So nice to see a delivery in the box.
Yep.
We said a few minutes ago, you and I off air there, that, you know, when was the last time we scored from a corner? It's just both goals, both United goals were made by the delivery. Mm-hmm. The outcome is all in the delivery. A great header from Martial, wonderful cross from Wan-Bissaka, wonderful ball in from Bruno, and a great header from Harry Maguire. So great performance, lots of very, very good individual performances. It's hard to really single anybody out because I think to a man they were pretty, pretty good. Fred again, all over the place, absolutely everywhere. What a player he's becoming, really broke out now with, you know, ironically the Pogba injury is probably the turning point for him that got him a run in the side. The McTominay injury also, and he's just thrived off it. He was superb again. I thought Matic protected well, obviously faded as the game went on. Martial and James, a little bit disappointing beyond the goal, but defensively, I thought it might be one of Harry Maguire's best performances in a United shirt. Thought Eric Bailly, mm-hmm. proving why you can't give up on him yet. Mm-hmm. There's a player there. He's, you know, almost a little bit old-fashioned. He just throws himself everywhere. It's a little bit reckless at times. It gets you on the edge of your seat, doesn't he? But did a great job. And Luke Shaw. Luke Shaw is such a strange one. He was brilliant again. You just don't know what to make of him at times, do you? But, you know, fair play. Another good performance from him. And what a difference this United team is with a player who can pull some strings and move the ball around and open the game up. Bruno Fernandes is just a magnificent footballer. And wait till we get somebody in front of him. Wait till Rashford comes back. Wait till Greenwood breaks through properly. Wait till you get McTominay back in the midfield. I mean, there's, you know, just what a difference after not having something in that position, in that hole for so long. Just wonderful to watch.
Well, just a couple of things. Reece James got away with one tonight, remember, also. Oh, Daniel James, yes. And Daniel James was away. That's a clear yellow card. Okay? So he could have been booked for that. He got away with it. That has a big impact on a player who's man marking, one of the fastest players on the pitch. Chelsea got a break there. And when you go back to the Sheffield United result, Martin, if you remember, the VAR one that was given, there was a push in the box for Sheffield United, and then the arm came up and it looked like it hit Ollie McBurnie's arm, I believe it was. The Sheffield United get away with one and cost United 2 points in that game. We keep hearing these things even out over the course of a season. Well, so we got one tonight that went in our favour. And talking about, well, maybe we'll give you a 10 centimetre rule or whatever, which to me is just, like we were talking before the show, is just another line, arbitrary line to argue over. Is it 10 centimetres? Is it 9? Is it 11? To me, it doesn't solve anything. You brought up a point before the show that I think actually would make sense and try to resolve this. If any part of your body's onside, you're onside. And I think that's fair because, you know, when you're getting offside goals being ruled out for an armpit, it's ridiculous. More than, I know people will argue it's the right decision and all that there, and technically it is the right decision.
Yeah, it's not, but VAR's not got that one wrong.
No,
VAR's got it right.
Yes.
But it's the rule. It's the law that's just wrong. I mean, that went in our favour, the header. I don't want to see those goals disallowed. He scored with his head from across and he was inches offside with his foot. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be looking down across the line at people's feet to see where they are. It's unrealistic at this point. So I just think if there's going to be, if this is the way the game's going to go with VAR and can be reviewed, we want the attacking team to have that advantage. That's the way the game has always been played. All right, the benefit of the doubt to the attacker. All right, that's what we want to see. So why not change that rule to almost for our American listeners more than anybody, but you see in ice hockey on the blue line where they're dragging their toe. It just seems to me if any part of your body is onside, then there's an advantage to the attacking team. It's more realistic. And the defensive team can also step up now. And I don't want to be working in millimeters, from the front. Do it on the back end. Give the attacking team the benefit of the doubt. Give them a chance. This is just getting silly now.
If they only had this on our day, Martin, your arse would be on, say, 24/7.
So. mate, I'm telling you. it's just got a bit ridiculous. I mean, even with the Harry Maguire one and with the other Chelsea disallowed goal, why has he got to go to Stockley Park? What, there's a monitor right next to the referee, 10 feet from the referee for the Maguire one. If VAR can say, hey, we need you to take a look at that one back, why can the referee not just go to his monitor and police himself? Look back at it and go, hey, yeah, I did get that one wrong. I'll call it back. It's almost like then referees are now being protected a little bit. It's difficult enough as a ref, right? I know you put them in the limelight more and you put them really in the spotlight, I suppose. But they can almost err on the side of caution, knowing that any close decision is going to be reviewed anyway and it's going to be out of their hands. So put it back in the referees' hands. Put it back. Make these referees accountable for their decisions. If they think it's a penalty, all right, VAR, hey, we need you to take a look at back. It's a bit contentious. Go back. He goes to the side of the pitch, looks at his monitor and go, yep, hey, I'm sticking with my decision there. Or no, I'm changing it. Because all you're doing is going to another person's opinion.
Exactly. Well, I mean, other than that, the game itself, 2-0 is a game, a result you would have taken before the game. Brilliant one, especially a team you're chasing for, I don't know, maybe fifth now with City getting launched out of the Champions League. We'll have to mention that as well in today's show. Because there's some skullduggery going on there that you put a few pieces together last week that hasn't been talked about, and we'll get into that. But big win for United, of course, 2-0 away from home. Solskjaer, once again, his record in these big games, truly unbelievable.
It's interesting just to mention, so don't want to cut you off the foot, but the fans at the end of the game, you want to see the support,
of course,
from the match-going fans that Ole has. There's no question inside that ground tonight what those travelling fans, who they believe in and where they're, where their vote is and who they want in charge.
Absolutely,
and it's which is great to see, because like you keep saying, I've been saying for a number of months, for years now, that it was going to come to a head, and the board were going to start feeling it, and they were never going to, they were never going to point a finger at Ollie. It was going to go above. So the support Ollie got in the stadium was fantastic. But just a massive, massive win, and like you said, maybe fifth gets them in. But it's going to be a mad scramble. It's going to be a mad scramble for fourth, fifth. I mean, 3 points, 4 or 5 points separating about 7 or 8 teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, the second half of the season is going to be really interesting. I think, having that little break probably helped United a bit. There were a couple of injuries of players they need to get back. The couple of things that concerns me up front, because you mentioned it there earlier, but Daniel James can't play central as a striker. Okay, he's not physical enough. He's a good little winger, but he's not a central striker, and nor is Martial.
I think he's more of an impact player at this point, is he? In an ideal world, Daniel James would be someone you bring off the bench, to add that little bit extra out wide. But because of the situation of the squad, he's playing far too many games. But I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, Martial is a central striker. He's not a central striker. He's a link striker, almost like Roberto Firmino. You play him down the middle. And Solskjaer said this after the game, where he says he's had numerous conversations with Martial about getting in the box, which tells you they are concerned about the fact that he doesn't play on the last defender. That's a big problem for United, and they have to get it fixed. Igalo, look, Martin. He may end up being a striker that comes in and is very, very successful. But once again, I have concerns about how you end up with Odion Ighalo. So you've got a situation where Bournemouth are saying United gave them 15 minutes to accept the Josh King bid. Now, Josh King, we're talking about £25-30 million here. Not exactly, a last-minute bargain-basement signing. I assume if United were going for Josh King in January at 25, 30 million, they had plans for him beyond the next 6 months. So what that tells me, and it tells me that they're still using Solbakken and for Ighalo, tells me nothing has changed with how the club's being run internally. Sport of Lisbon came out the other day and said they held firm and they got exactly what they asked for with Bruno Fernandes. Burnman, prior to this, United hadn't scored since January 11th. So a player that they definitely could have done with, nothing has changed. And we've had a charm of fans over the last few weeks about who's going to get signed over the summer. We shall see. A lot will happen between now and the summer. But, they need another striker badly. We heard that whenever they were going after Wan-Bissaka, there was 896 right-backs showing up in a system. How on earth have they got a system that shows Odion Ighalo? You know, what are they playing, a four-year-old football manager game? I mean, who come up with that one? And the ties with Jim Solbakken, which quite frankly are an absolute disgrace to Manchester United as a football club. And we keep hearing about, we only want Manchester United players. You know, one thing you can't say about Ighalo, which I'll give him credit for, is he desperately wants to be there. And you can see he's desperately happy to be there. Nothing wrong with that. I just once again have serious reservations about how you end up with that lad as your only option. Burnham United have known since last March they needed a striker, because that's when, of course, Lukaku made his intentions clear. So Woodward has now put himself in a situation, Martin, where the summer's not that far away. We're almost in March. People are going to remember these interviews that he's just done about how we've got this big summer coming up.
Oh, it's just convenient again. Season ticket renewal time, isn't it?
Well, it's just good talking about getting business done early. Well, we heard this before, Ollie. You said that last season too. So I don't expect United will get business done early. I expect they'll drag it out just like they usually do. I expect that come August we'll probably have one or two signed, maybe tops, right? But the bulk of the business will still not be done. I won't just repeat what we've been doing. I would love for that to be wrong, but I have serious reservations whether anything has changed. And what was also really, really interesting, Martin, is on that report that United gave Bournemouth 15 minutes to decide on whether Joshua King was going to sign for the football club or not, was apparently at the request of Ed Woodward, but Ed Woodward done an interview just about 4 or 5 weeks ago, said he'd nothing to do with transfers. So does he or doesn't he?
No. Exactly.
So he doesn't whenever it's not positive, and he does whenever it is. This is why I've said before, he desperately wants to be liked, and that has since proven to be true with his absurd hiring of a PR team. All the things that you mentioned, Martin, you know, when we're evaluating Solskjaer, there's two different schools of thought out there. And I'm not against either of them. I certainly understand the reservations about Solskjaer. I certainly understand people's argument about whether he would have the job or not if he wasn't a legend. That's true. But lots of people get jobs at football clubs because they were a playing legend. They aren't the first club to do that. But also on the positive side, Martin, you could easily say the transformation in Fred alone has been truly remarkable, and you have to give Solskjaer credit for that. You have to give Solskjaer credit for getting consistency out of Rashford. You have to give him credit that when Rashford and Martial play, that if you look at their goal scoring record, it's as good as anyone in the league. You have to give him credit for the emergence of Scott McTominay, even though he was a Mourinho debut, but he's now Solskjaer's turned him into a top player. Brandon Williams, you have to give him credit for. And like you mentioned tonight, Eric Bailly, in his first season, for me, was a magnificent defender, Martin. And then picked up injuries and some rash decisions, but you still felt, I'm reluctant to let him go because there's a defender in there. And he showed tonight, when he plays like that, him and Maguire are the two best centre-backs at the football club when he plays like that.
No doubt. I mean, you've, with the prospect of Twanzebe coming back as well, Look, it's a difficult. Where do you really, really focus? Where do you point out? What's the greatest need for United moving forward into this window? I still think. Look, if a Koulibaly was available, that'd be tough to turn that down, but you know, then you've got to release people, because you've got Jones and Swansea, and you've Lindelof, Bailly, Maguire. To me, the focus has got to be on that midfield and maybe that right side, even though, like you said, there definitely is a need for a nine, a number nine, is someone who's going to get in that box, and something different than what we have. I don't know if Martial is going to become that. He's just, again, apart from the goal, and a great goal it was, there was a chance not too long before that, that got whipped across the box. I think it was Dan James whipped that ball across the box, and you're watching Martial's running. It's just a one pace. Mm-hmm. There was no busting his ass to get into that, you know, into the 6 yard box. And again, the ball zipped across the 6 yard box. And this is where you got to feel for the coaching staff a little bit when you do press conferences after the game there, and those kind of comments come out that it's endless on Martial to get it. He's got to get in there. Coaching wise, there's only so much you can do, especially with a squad this thin where there's not a great deal of options. So to me, if Jack Grealish would make a massive difference, Jadon Sancho,
of course,
massive difference. I mean, that obviously goes without saying. I don't want that to sound juvenile, but I would start there. And like you said, I don't think there's going to be getting any business done early. My guess, it's going to be another Harry Maguire type, where they're waiting to seal the fate on Pogba, like they did with Lukaku, nailing down and making sure that money and that sale goes through, and the deal goes through, and the dollar amount, the pound amount is nailed down, because it's going to have a huge effect on the budget. We know that the Fernandes signing is coming out of that summer budget. We know that, that's a no brainer. But you slot Jack Grealish, and I don't care what you say. That kid is, what a player he is. You stick him in that midfield as well, with McTominay coming back. Fred playing like the, and now Bruno Fernandes. I mean, that midfield looks vastly different. And then you stick Jadon Sancho out there, and that kid just brings pure energy and pure quality. Yes, it'll cost probably 100 million to get him. Sorry, but that's what you're going to pay for that kind of output.
Well, let me ask you about Paul Pogba, because Mino Raiola's come out with another statement on his Instagram. Everybody's read it, so I'm not going to repeat it. But there's a couple of telling words in there, Martin, towards the end of that, where Raiola talks about what Solskjaer told Pogba in the summer, and if I was Solskjaer, I would be more worried about other issues, and he's clearly getting frustrated at issues that are going on behind the scenes. So if I connect the dots, what that tells me is that United promised Pogba in the summer that certain players would be signed, and aren't those players are not getting sent. And that's the only, if you extrapolate what Raiola said, frustrated about other issues, what you told him in the summer, that can only mean, Martin, that sendings were promised that weren't delivered. And Raiola's talked about this before. Raiola talked about, if you go back to his previous statements, he's talked about United need to demonstrate to Paul Pogba that they actually have ambition, which is a fair question. I just don't want this being done in public, Martin. Right, and so the repeated disrespect of Manchester United by Paul Pogba's agent, because one thing you have to say about Lukaku, and this is why Lukaku, bear in mind, didn't drop Raiola until later on in the year, there wasn't all the stuff coming out. Lukaku wasn't coming out saying how badly he wanted to leave and all that, even though he knew he wanted to leave. That happened towards the very, very end. So you have to believe that Pogba's agreeing that there's no way that Mino Raiola's saying any of this without Paul Pogba's approval. And Solskjaer's done nothing but being respectful of Paul Pogba, done nothing but being nice, put him in an awkward situation. And when you talk about Solskjaer being, like Van Persie said, being too nice, that's what I would like to see him bite back. But what I think Solskjaer's afraid of, I think Solskjaer's afraid of Mino Raiola coming clean on everything that's actually been promised and not being delivered. I think Solskjaer has the look of a man that's afraid that Mainariola is going to drop United in the shit by coming out and saying, this was promised, this was promised, this was promised, not delivered. I think Solskjaer's afraid of that. And he looks like a man who's trying to appease Riola enough to where he doesn't drop United in the shit.
Yeah, the disappointing part is, you know, to quote all those kind of comments about Solskjaer, look, aim that and direct that towards the board. You know, we've heard this before about, you know, the signings that were wanted, the signings that were promised, that, you know, and not being delivered. That's not on Solskjaer. That's on the board. So, you know, it's for me, it's the sooner this saga is over and done with, the better.
Nothing's necessary.
But I mean, again, it's, you know, he's coming out of there after a great win, great performance, and again, he's having to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, constantly about this. It's just, you know, it's unnecessary, and it's just become a circus. You know, just, the sooner they get shut of him, the better. There's no good. There's no long term with this. Cash in, but you know, as we've said many times, I mean, where's the value? Yes, he's still a superstar. Yes, I guess, you know, marketable and all that. But I don't know who goes out there and pays 120, 130 million that United are asking. Well, I don't know who pays 100 million for Pogba. I mean, they're just off the back of what?
This is the thing, Martin. Paul Pogba has more serious, you know, there was an article coming out there the other day about United not being able to guarantee Paul Pogba playing time between now and the end of this season. That's exactly what I would like United to do, to take control of the situation and say, you know what? You want to play for France this summer? You owe us something. Because let me tell you something, Martin. If I've got a fit midfield of Bruno Fernandes, Fred and McTominay, and people who are Pogba fans will laugh at this, but where do you put him in?
That's what's interesting.
Because he's clearly a class player, Morton, but, you know, when he wants to be.
But to put him in that midfield, you know, the way they're playing, you can't drop, without Tomlin, you can't drop Matic, because you've got to have somebody sitting in and protecting the back three, back two, back five, all right? Pogba can't do that. Then you'd be sacrificing what Fred has been doing well and getting about all over the pitch. So you're not going to drop Fred for him. You're certainly not going to move Fernandes out. So you kind of, you know, be careful what you're saying here. He doesn't just walk back in there. So he's got to get an awful lot of time under him. He's got the Euros. You know, if he desperately wants this move, then yeah, he's got some football to do, and he needs to stop talking and needs to tell Freuler to shut up too, and focus on getting back fit so we can get back on the pitch.
Well, you know, the thing with Paul Pogba is, Tancredi Palmieri put a tweet out there earlier, and I don't know if he's a reliable source or not, I see him on Twitter all the time, but he says, Juventus would be interested in offering Aaron Ramsey, Adrian Rabiot, two free transfers, by the way, and possibly another 15 million euro to get Paul Pogba. First of all, if Juventus value Paul Pogba with 15 million plus two free transfers, then Paul Pogba needs to take a hard look at himself, right, and say, listen, the bid's insulting if that's all they value at. I don't want anything to do with either Ramsey or Rabiot. If you never had wanted Rabiot, they could have got him 6 months ago for now. Seeing we are in Ramsey. Right? Although he probably wouldn't have gone to United, but you know, this is why Juventus do these deals for these three transfers, so that they can move him on a year later at a net cost. Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting there, you're going, I want nothing to do with Aaron Ramsey. Decent, very good player at Arsenal, but he's constantly injured and not the type of player I want at Manchester United. Remember, he turned his down when he was 17. Rabiot, kid who couldn't get in PSG's team. People will say that's due to his contract. I don't think he's playing at all for Juventus. So why on earth would he be good enough for Manchester United?
Yeah, your cast offs and a few quid.
Yeah, exactly. So we can find out about that coach. And then, so
it would have to be a baller in the deal.
I would do straight. I got to swap. It would make sense for both teams. Straight swap with Dybala and Paul Pogba, no problems. They're about the same age. They're both top players. Why not? And that's it. Would fill a need that United badly have. But just on this, Martin, you know, Mino Raiola's not saying this about all clubs. It always seems to be United. I don't see him going out there slaughtering PSG with Verratti. I don't see him doing it with Borussia Dortmund or anybody else where his clients are at. It's always United. So clearly there's an issue between Manchester United and Mino Raiola. And, you know, if you're a player, this is why it's hilarious that Lingard went there. I can understand why you love Mino Raiola, but to me, there's nothing positive. Even when Tevez Martin was getting booted out of United towards the end of his career and going to City, he didn't disrespect United like this. Right? There were some disrespectful things as he left, but not during the process. There's no excuse for the football club to be treated this way. And for Paul Pogba, regardless, he has to accept that he's part of the reason why he failed. It's not. I mean, you can see United part of the reason too, of course, but he's also part of the reason. And this Paul Pogba right now, unless he plays between now and the end of the season, doesn't play in the Euros, Martin. So Paul Pogba has a big concern on his hands. He needs to get back fit, get back playing football, and pray to God that he finishes the end of the season strongly so that people will actually be convinced he's worth buying. But if you're sitting there, I mean, Real Madrid aren't exactly swimming in cash. They need to sell players. Barcelona need to sell. Right, you look at the clubs that you go to, Juventus, possibly, if they're offering players plus 15 million, they're not exactly swimming in tons of cash either. Where's he going to go?
Well, it's funny because all the talk previously was about Zidane and Real Madrid. Now, all of a sudden, Juve was home. That felt like home. That's where he wants to go back to. Why? Because Real Madrid have no interest, and you clearly know that there's going to be no deal done there, and there's no deal to be had there. So now you're hauling him out back to Juventus. Come on. It's, like I said, not being on the pitch, not producing, not performing in the time he's been there on a consistent basis, your value's going down.
You know,
and you've got the current market, you know, yes, the transfer fees are silly, but the type of clubs you're talking about, they're not going to throw money. They're not paying 120, 130, 140 million. They're just not. You know, the only club that possibly would be PSG.
Well, I mean, that's the odd thing, Martin. PSG will never link with him.
Nope.
And here's the thing. If I'm Ed Woodward, I take control of the situation. I call Mino Raiola and I say, listen, go get me 120 million or shut your mouth. You give me 120 million, right? I'll sell him to Jossie's Giants. I don't care where he goes, right? He can go to Wuhan in China for all I care. You bring me 120 million, he can go wherever he wants. No problems. Until then, if you can't get your client sold because nobody wants him, well, then maybe you want to explain to Paul and ask why. Because even the worst football clubs, Martin, top players get out of them because it's obvious they're not the problem. The issue with Paul Pogba is it's not obvious that he is not part of the problem. He's got issues from his previous manager who called him a virus. And the conduct since then has been repeatedly disgraceful through his agent. And remember, Solskjaer's right. The agent works for Paul Pogba. So if somebody works for me, Martin, and is repeatedly doing things I don't like and is embarrassing me, I would let them go. Mm-hmm. So Paul Pogba takes responsibility for everything his agent does. It's an embarrassment of football club. And, you know, he needs to be moved on. It cannot continue past the summer. And, you know, it's a terrible example to the rest of the players inside that football club. And if Paul Pogba wants to repeatedly disrespect the football club, personally, I wouldn't let him play again the rest of the season. Because that's how you take control of the Paul Pogba situation. Paul Pogba needs Manchester United to let him play so that he can get back in that France team, so that he can get a move. But if I was United, I would say no. Right now, you're not going to get in this football team because we have players that are better than you. Make him earn it.
The first thing that's happened is you tell your agent to shut his mouth.
Yeah, talking about selling players, you can't get in the team we have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Martin, I also want to talk about this. Two couple of things I want to talk about before we leave. Schultz, good thing. We'll talk about the City thing, and then we'll do some Q&A. The City thing. So City getting booted out of Europe for 2 years. Right? Now, here's the thing about this, Martin, when you look at this. So, as we were saying earlier, City getting into European Cup semi-finals, winning the leagues, and still need to financially dope. If you cannot make enough money when you're sitting, going to a lot of stages in the European Cup, when you're winning Premier Leagues, you're winning FA Cups, you're winning all these trophies, and you still can't generate enough money to buy the players you need to be successful, how are you going to do it when you're in the Champions League, when you lose, 90-odd million? That's gone. Then the sponsorship money's gone, Martin, because you're not getting the sponsorship revenue. Go through some of that Der Spiegel stuff, and you're looking at, I think it was Soriano, going to their sponsors and saying, hey, I know we lost the FA Cup, but there's any way you could pay us the FA Cup bonuses because we needed to comply with FFP, right? And if you're that tight, high in earth the City ever get back to where they are? And if you're the City owners and you're saying, listen, we cannot financially dope with this football club, we cannot be attached to a losing brand, because once City have to live within their means, Martin, City are not going out and ban top level players, right? It's and so you're going to have a club that's going to be vastly different to the one that we see today. You're going to have a club that's going to have its wings clipped significantly. It won't matter how much money their owners have, none of that stuff. This is so big, Martin, and the Premier League haven't dealt with them yet, right? And the Premier League cannot go soft with them, because these clubs, the can of worms is going to be massive. They're going to have wrap their knuckles hard too. I don't see them getting kicked out of the league or anything. I don't see them getting stripped, but I could see a points deduction for next season. The ramifications of this are absolutely massive.
Mm-hmm. They really are. Look, FFP, it's obviously people got different opinions on FFP. It's, some people think it's bang on. Some people think the rules that FFP imply are just way out of line. That's not the issue. All the clubs, they signed up, they agreed, and they signed for, they agreed to FFP and and how it's run. The fact that it doesn't matter how much money you have, it's you've broke the rules that you signed up for, and seemingly, I mean, this is enormous. The lengths that they've gone to make sure that these figures are what they are is just crazy to me. When you can't, look, I'm not sounding bitter. I don't want it. This is not the United fan, City fan type thing. But when you can't fill your ground for important Champions League home ties, that's got to be concerning. It really does have to be concerning, because, like you said, take away the income from Champions League or from even from Europa, the revenue that brings in. When you don't have their brand is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
City as a brand are irrelevant. It's this is huge, and obviously the Premier League will wait until CAS, have taken their stance and see if it gets upheld, or see what the outcome is of that side. But if that gets upheld, the Premier League are going to have to act. They're going to be left in with no choice. Otherwise, they seem to not control their own clubs, right? It's immediately the rest of this season. I have a little bit of a problem, because City are going to know on the cards here 2 year European ban. What are City going to do in these league games now against the rest of the teams they play in the Premier League this season? They can't catch Liverpool. They're not catching Liverpool. The league's all but done with. A real easy option now for City to start. It'll be a pure focus on the Champions League and the cup competitions, and the Premier League is going to take a complete back seat now. So the teams they play now, it's affecting all these games in the Premier League against City, because they're not playing. They won't be playing or possibly don't play full strength teams. Things that clubs have got raps for in the league cups in FA Cups playing weakened teams and been sanctioned for. This could be happening now in the Premier League. And I'll be very interested personally to see how much Phil Foden now starts to play. Because as you said earlier, they're going to have to start generating some of their own players to either come into that team or come in there and move on to generate some funds for the transfer market. It's just huge. This is just astronomical. It's the fallout from this is going to be crazy. And then if you're talking about points deductions, do they go back then? Do they go back a few years to when mm-hmm. to when these articles and how long these documents are dated from? Just talk of stripping them then of titles with point deductions. I'd be surprised if it went to that extreme. I think they'd probably look more at future stuff and maybe this season. I mean, if they give them a points deduction this season, they get away with it because it doesn't mean anything, especially if you've got a 2-year European ban anyway, but yeah, if they start going backwards and looking at stripping titles from them, yes, United, possibly get another couple of titles. But the worst part about it all, Stevie G might get a medal. I think that'd be more devastating than anything else.
The thing is, the City as a football club will change completely. And so there's no way Pep Guardiola stays at a football club that can't qualify for Europe. There's no way.
I don't care what he says. He came out today and said that even if they're in League Two, he'll step. There'll be something where he gets quote unquote sacked.
Well, first of all, if they go down to League Two, they wouldn't be able to afford to keep him. So, as would be true, then of course, Martin, there's all the legal aspects of this where players are. You can guarantee so many of their contracts are based on success in Europe. So now they're going to go back to City and say, well, we want our bonuses paid. It's not our fault we can't play in Europe. So now City are going to have this huge legal aspect of players now coming to them and saying, listen, I'm losing out millions of pounds worth of revenue because we're not in Europe now. So I want those paid. And City won't be in a position to pay them. The alternative, of course, is leaving. We were talking on this show, Martin, about how difficult it is to attract players when you're telling you have a 3-year plan, when you're saying, hey, in 3 years we'll be good enough to win the Europa League, the Champions League, whatever. That's a long time, right? Mm-hmm. 3 years is a long, long time for a footballer. Most footballers don't stay more than 3-4 years at a football club anyway. So you're saying the likes of De Bruyne and stuff, what is he, 28, 29? All these players that are smack bang in the middle of their 27, 28, I think, somewhere around there.
Right? Well, you've got Aguero at 32.
Why would they stay? Those top players at City, and they needed to buy anyway. They need a centre-back. If you're looking at what they could sell without doing major damage to them, and this is not a City show, but John Stones, maybe. You can get a ton of money for him. It just hasn't worked out for him at City. And they badly need players more. I think Castle have pulled this. excuse me. I think UEFA have been quite clever in making sure they don't show all their hand before cast next week, so City don't know where to attack UEFA from. This is not the first time City have had their card marked. And City's defence is basically two things. Well, the evidence shouldn't be admissible because it was stolen. It seems to be, well, if we're guilty, so is Juventus, so is Bayern Munich, so is everybody else. And UEFA shouldn't be investigating itself, which CAS might have some sympathy for. But I think this time, it's really important UEFA show that they have some muscle and some teeth, and they're not toothless when it comes to these things, because the reputation's on the line, Martin. A lot of people are looking at them like, if this ends up with some stupid fine and not a Champions League ban, then these rules are not serious. They're completely impotent. So we'll see. Do you have anything else to add on that, mate, before we move on?
No, it's just the level of this he's going to get to is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
We will see.
It's going to be very, very interesting.
Two things before we go. We'll do a Q&A really quick, but I want to talk about this SourceGroup story. I tweeted out a thing earlier in the week, Martin, where Andy Mitten had gone to Norway. I think it was around September, October. where he was doing a total expose on Solskjaer and everything that was going on, but with this appointment and how was his hometown reacting to Solskjaer being made Manchester United manager, and what's the mood like in Norway and everything else. And for some strange reason, this rape case never came up. I mean, that's amazing that Andy would go all the way to Norway and ask all these people about Solskjaer, and not one person, a progressive country like Norway, happened to mention this massive court case. That's incredibly odd to me. But nonetheless, it didn't make its way into the article. And I assume that's because, I'll give Andy the benefit of the doubt, that by some miracle he wasn't told. I'll leave you to decide. But when you look at this story, Martin, of what actually can be told, and Solskjaer looked extremely nervous when he was asked about it. He looked down, he didn't want to look up, he didn't know what to say, and United's press team moved it on very, 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 very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly.
Well, if you look at when the story really broke in England, it broke on Friday. Well, what else broke on Friday? The City News broke on Friday. David Gill would have known that City was going to be banned in Europe. Obviously, he's part of UEFA. So, as are other United ex-United employees. So this wouldn't have come as a surprise to United. And all of a sudden, the Telegraph, which makes me question whether they were asked to run the story on that Friday and bury it whenever the City News was out. And the reason why I say that is because of some stuff that I have since been told. That United wanted the story out on Friday to get everyone done with. The problem for Solskjaer is that a large part of the story still hasn't been told. And this is going to be utterly horrendous, and it would not surprise me if United use this as an excuse to get rid of him. Obviously, Duncan Castle's come out and said what you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, about the fact that United have been talking to Pochettino. And, you know, there's no question they've been talking to Pochettino. They'd like Pochettino at the end of the season. I have no doubt that United are already consulting with him on potential signings. Bruno Fernandes was one that Pochettino wanted. But you've got parts of the story where Molde, where, for example, the Rosenborg fans wanted to come to Molde Stadium and display a generic anti-rape banner. And I'm not saying Solskjaer demanded this, but Molde would refuse to allow generic anti-rape banners in their stadium, which, why not? Which would seem something we could all get behind, right? And the fact that Solbakken, who I've reached out to Jim Solbakken for comment, refuses to speak. That's entirely up to him. That's his right. Not the behaviour, mind you, of someone who has a clarification to make. But you would think, with everything that's being said in the media and your client being held out, being questioned about this, which is totally unfair on Solskjaer, if you're Jim Solbakken, which I don't think it is unfair on Solskjaer nonetheless, but if you're Jim Solbakken, you should be protecting Solskjaer. But it also looks horrible for United, Martin, because Josimar Football broke this news story a year ago almost, and yet United are using an agent to buy a player who deliberately put a human being beyond the reach of Interpol so that he wouldn't be arrested, who refuses to submit a blood sample for someone he got pregnant in Norway. And when you look at Solskjaer's conduct after he was accused, and bear in mind there's a different standard here between a legal and a sporting one, right? So John Terry, for example, was exonerated legally for his racial abuse of Anton Ferdinand. But the sporting standard is totally different, because you're trying to justify whether someone should go to jail or not, not whether they did it or not, but the threshold's totally different. So John Terry did it, but he claimed he did it for different reasons. Anyway, that's the difference. So how is this going to look to United sponsors, Martin, if this blows up? That Solskjaer aided and abetted an accused rapist to go beyond the reach of Interpol, that you made him your club captain, that United as a football club continued to use Jim Solbakken as an agent despite the fact they had to have known about this. That is truly unbelievable. And it's a massive story, Martin. It's a story that should be on the front and back pages of every newspaper. And I assume that most people aren't touching it because they're petrified of the legal ramifications. And I understand that with the libel laws. You have to be really, really, really careful with what you say and what you print. I don't know what is true. I'm just commenting on what's already out there. But this should have been enough for United to look at Solskjaer in the evaluation process to say, this is a nightmare, we can't touch this. If a Norwegian blog and said is aware of this, we should have been aware of it.
Oh, it just goes hand in hand with the how we've been doing business. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me in the least to be completely oblivious to it. It's truly incredible and so could be so damaging. And it could be the thing that this, I don't know how this comes across, how to word this, but I mean, it could be the nail in Solskjaer's coffin that almost gets the board, United board, kind of gets them off. If Pochettino's the one that, as we know, that they want to bring in, mm-hmm. Well, there's all the excuse they need now where they can take it out of, take it out of footballing perspective. They can take it out of purely on results and stuff like that. And they get out of jail for it and don't have to make a tough decision. But this could be, the thing that they can slam the door on Ollie and bring Pochettino in. I'm speechless. We're reading and hearing some of that stuff. It's just, man. What did Solskjaer say? It's not been good for him. He had no idea what to say, did he? He looked nervous.
Sorry to interrupt you. Solbakken is up to his neck. Like, I mean, this is not the first thing that Solbakken's done. It's incredibly roping. I mean, this guy has had a long history of, I'm trying to choose my words very carefully here, of controversial behaviour, shall we say.
I think it just shows that when you're dealing with agents and people like that, it's dollars and cents. It's money, and boards and people hiring and people doing these processes literally will look past anything that favors them and brings in profit and profits the business side of it. But they've got a sticky one in their hands right here. The fallout from this, I mean, who knows, man? This is not a good situation. This is not a good look. This doesn't look good on anybody at the club. Before we even start getting to what did or didn't happen, the fact that this is not major news, like you said, is just, man, it's disgusting. Who knows what will come out? I hope to God that it comes out that there's more to this than we're hearing. But it's pretty sad.
Yeah, I mean, I strongly encourage you to check out this Yossi Moore Football article, which is, bear in mind, they've done an absolutely outstanding job covering this. But if you go through the details on this, it is absolutely incredible, Martin. We're sitting here and slamming Areola, but.
Yeah.
Nino Ayola is nothing compared to Solbakken. And, you know, when you look at Solskjaer's signings, Martin, at Norway, at Cardiff, the vast majority of them were Solbakken signings. Odion Ighalo is a Solbakken signing. You cannot tell me that's not an agent-driven transfer. There's no way United looked at a list of available strikers when there was likes of Cavani out there and other strikers that were available. You know, even the lad at Milan, Piatek, you cannot.
Yeah, the likes of Olivier Giroud.
Yeah,
you know, was probably attainable.
You can't tell
in the
me.
League.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you know what I mean? That there's no, not buying it. Not buying it.
Well, you know, again, an agent-driven transfer. And we keep hearing all through a transfer window how it's so important to get the right players. the players that are Manchester United players. I sincerely hope Ighalo comes in and scores an absolute bucket load. There's no player I don't want to do well at Manchester United, but he wasn't sent due to quality. And then, of course, has to be isolated for 2 weeks due to coronavirus. Nothing more Manchester United than that. Martino, go ahead and do the Q&As, man, and we'll wrap up the show. Thanks to all of you again who downloads the show and listens to us. Very, very much appreciated, and we appreciate you being patient over the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Just scrolling through, I think a lot of these questions have actually been answered in this part, but I'll go through a couple later. At Man United, at Man underscore United underscore num 10, do you think Luke Shaw can prove his critics wrong? It's a good one. Because, you know, as we said earlier in the show, I mean, there's flashes of what he could be, and you forget he's under 25, what is he, 23, 24? Can he prove his critics wrong? He could. It's really hard to say. I really talk about being on the fence. He could go either way, because you see games like today, he was outstanding. But it's just the consistency thing again, and that body shape where, you know, the fitness becomes an issue. And I truly think he can. But the emergence of Brandon Williams, I think, will hinder that a little bit.
Well, sure, it's always about consistency for me and whether he stays in the type of shape that he needs to be in. At 24, Martin, I think that the potential player that Luke Shaw could have became when I saw him at 17, 18 has already passed him by. I think he'll never have the physique to be a flying winger, a left flying wing back. I think there's holes in his game. I think he's capable of playing a good game, but not capable of playing a good season. I would say that as things stand, Brandon Williams ahead of him every week.
That injury, that horrific injury, just came at the wrong time, and who knows how much effect that had. At Stuart Burgess, one simple question for you, Martin: can you see a better season for United next season? Absolutely. I think undoubtedly Pogba will be out. Bruno Fernandes is a massive, massive upgrade there. Injuries aside, I absolutely see a better season. Mason Greenwood is really going to be breaking through properly. Daniel James, a year older, a year more experienced. I think we're going to see big strides, and Pogba out, and couple in at least in the summer. I expect a much better season.
Well, when you look at the City's plate, United should be looking at this going, here's a perfect opportunity now to move in the second and really put pressure on Liverpool. Because I think Chelsea and Spurs will be better next season, but City surely won't be. And so there's a great opportunity there for United to, we talk about a better season. I don't think United are going to win the league next season, Martin. Right? But what would be better would be consistency. Would be, you know what, United finishing second and having a respectable points difference between them and assuming Liverpool, if the team was on to win it. If it's within single digits, then I would say, you know what, that's progress. United are making progress with, realistically, a title challenge in 2 years. But that all depends on how we do this summer and whether they actually invest in the players they say they're going to. I honestly believe Jadon Sancho is very, very gettable. And I wonder, with Chelsea moving for Hakim Ziyech, if that is a concession on their part that Jadon Sancho is going to go to Manchester United. This is a great opportunity. I hope to God United are overdoing that business right now. I have a price agreed, have everything agreed, so they can trigger that in the summer and have it be done. And I would sincerely hope that when they were losing Haaland to Dortmund, there was some negotiation with Dortmund saying, we'll let him go to Dortmund if you allow us to send Jadon Sancho in the summer. That's the leverage that a smart person would use. I hope that's what happens. If they can get Sancho, Grealish, a striker in the summer, then United would be in really, really good shape.
Totally agree. And I think, you know, leads you to the top. We'll do this as the last one here. At Ryan underscore Digit, if you could make four realistic signings in the summer to improve the team, who would they be? Well, I don't think four will come in, quite simply. I think it's going to be two, maybe three. But I think, just as you said there, I think Jadon Sancho is that's absolutely gettable. I think you have to pay. That's the one I think will be held up on the Pogba deal, because the figures are going to be something similar. But Sancho, what a signing that would be. And like we said, Grealish in the centre midfield, maybe Madison. I think Grealish, especially if Villa go down. We'll be out of there. But Grealish needs to move to a bigger club now. Grealish is the sort of person who should be playing European football. Even though he's a lifelong Villa boy, he's gonna have to move, and he knows it. And he doesn't owe the club anything at this point, and the fans would, I don't think there'd be any, they'd hold it against him if he moved to a bigger club. So I think Grealish is attainable. I think Sancho is attainable. Problem with that is that's an awful lot of money.
Just on that, who, in terms of outgoings, who do you think would leave?
I can see them moving Lingard on now. I think the centre back will probably leave. Obviously Pogba.
Mm-hmm.
I think one Mats will stick around there. Nobody up top, but I don't think there'll be an awful lot of outgoings. Phil Jones, Paul Pogba. Maybe even Matic. If they can get a midfielder or two in, maybe Matic.
Well, there was talk of trying to get Corent and Tolisso from Bayern. They tried to get him on loan between now and the end of the season. They weren't able to get him. So that shows to me they are still not happy with the absence in midfield, even with Bruno Fernandes. So I think in terms of outgoings, surprise. I think if United got a big offer for Martial, they'd listen to it. I think if they got a big offer for De Gea, they'd listen to it, just simply because of the options they have now in goalkeeper.
And that would be interesting to see what they do with Dean Henderson. Do they loan Dean Henderson back for another year? Probably, I would say. As long as De Gea is there, they don't bring Dean Henderson back. There's no point. Dean Henderson is sat on the bench.
Of course not. So wouldn't surprise me to see Martial if the big offer came in for him, because United will look to cash in on one or two others, Martin, on top of Pogba if they can. And there's a couple of French players there that could get you some money. You could probably sell Andreas Pereira for, 10 million. Someone would pay 10 million for him. No problems. Mm-hmm. He's clearly someone that is not going to, is not Solskjaer's long-term plans. And if he was, they wouldn't have been so desperate to get a creative midfielder. And we'll see what happens with Rojo, if they end up getting money for him. I would hope so. If they turned down an offer from Everton at the end of last season, surely they would be willing to sell him. We shall see. Mate, we'll go ahead and leave it there. Thanks to all of you for downloading the podcast. Thanks for all your likes, retweets and all that there. As we get more authorization on the Solskjaer info, if we can release it, I will. Just please try to understand that we're just two podcasters, and we have young families, and I want to be able to say what I've been told, but not all of it I can, unfortunately. So, but we'll go ahead and leave it there. Martino, all the best, mate. Thanks for doing this, and thanks to all of you for downloading it, folks. All the best.
Thanks, mate.
Bye, mate. See ya.
Bye now. Bye.